Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning with the 6th verse. And we'll be looking at two different chapters in the book of Jeremiah that talk about backsliding. Backsliding is something that I think that we all do from time to time. I think that we don't want to backslide, but I think that we do sometimes backslide. And if, when we begin to backslide, if we do not correct the problem, if we don't look to God for the strength and grace to get back on the right track, then the backsliding will lead to us falling away, and then can actually lead to us not only personally falling away, but it can lead to us leading others away from God. So backsliding is something that we need to pray that God will help us to examine ourselves. And when we see that we are backsliding, when we see that we're going backwards in our service to God or worship of God, when we see that our love for God is beginning to go in the other direction, and we begin to love the world more than we love God, then we need to get on our knees and stay on our knees and pray fervently for God to help us to get back into close fellowship with Him. I'd like to read now from Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. The Word of God says, "The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." So God here is talking about His people, and I think that's very important to remember, is that we're not talking about people that are not children of God. And as we go through different passages of Scripture tonight, in every passage, we're talking about children of God and what can happen to children of God. This passage of Scripture tells us that God, he's asking Jeremiah, have you seen what Israel has done? Have you seen how Israel has committed whoredoms, and I have given her a bill of divorcement, and her sister Judah has seen what happened to Israel, and yet Judah is going the same way that Israel did. How would you like to have been Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel and watch Israel and Judah turn their backs on God? It was a horrible experience for the men of God and the people of God to see the nation of Israel turning their backs on God, to see them backsliding, and to see them going away from God. Now, Jeremiah chapter 8, God's Word continues to talk about the same terrible condition that existed among Israel and Judah. In Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 5, I want to read verses 5 through 12. The Word of God says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding?" Now, even though everybody here probably, and I think all of us, do backslide sometimes, there's a difference in occasional backsliding and perpetual backsliding. Those that are guilty of perpetual backsliding, you just almost mark them down as those people cannot be depended on. They're going to be backsliding and backsliding, and they are like Israel here, they are perpetually backsliding. It's just a way of life with them, and they're going to go back, and they're going to keep going backwards, and they're going to go forward for a while. It looks like they'll maybe take one step forward and two step backwards, but they are guilty of what God calls here perpetual backsliding, going back and going back time and time again. He says in verse 5, the rest of that verse, he says, "They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. I want to remind you that in Jeremiah chapter 3 and in Jeremiah chapter 8, that God had been calling on Israel and Judah to return to the Lord. They had been with God, and God was calling them to return unto the Lord. He says they refused to return. Verse 6, he says, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? In other words, they were not asking God, what have we done wrong? Brethren, when we begin to backslide, we're going to lose fellowship with God. And when you begin to realize that you are losing fellowship with God, it is extremely important that you ask what God said right here that he did not find people of Israel asking. He says, they should have said, what have I done? Because they recognized, at least to begin with, people of God recognize that they're losing fellowship with God. I talked with someone recently who said, I acknowledge that I'm lukewarm. I acknowledge that I'm not near what I used to be. But there's no burden about getting back close to God. And they're not saying, what have I done? They're just saying, I'm satisfied with where I am. And that being satisfied with a lukewarm condition, we need to always remember that not only is it true of a nation like it was with Israel, not only is it true of America as a nation, but it is true of individuals, and it's true of a church, that a church can backslide and become lukewarm in her service to God. The church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, the Word of God tells us that they were lukewarm, and God said that he would spew them out of his mouth. Now to think that a child of God who knows these scriptures and many others, to think that they can backslide and not be burdened about their backsliding, to think that they can be lukewarm and not be burdened about being lukewarm, is almost inconceivable. And yet that is a common problem. This is not a rare problem among the people of God. What we're looking at tonight, though we're going to get to some extreme cases, there is nothing that is major unusual about anything we're going to be looking at. It is a common problem that God's people have had in every age and generation. So they never asked the question, God says in verse 6, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Can you pretty well predict to some degree when cold weather is coming? To some degree, can you tell when it's coming? Can you detect when rainy weather is coming? Can you detect when hot weather is coming? There are various signs that you can tell various things. When you see clouds coming from particular directions, because of the continuous pattern that there is, you can say, well, now, we probably will get some rain out of those clouds, or there's not much chance of getting rain out of those clouds. And what God is saying is that the birds of the air have more sense than the people of God. The birds of the air, they know all about the different seasons and the different things that happen. But God says, but my people does not know that I'm about to judge them. If you can't look at the United States of America today and know that God is about to judge her, if you can't look at the churches, if you can't look at so-called Christianity in America today and realize that God is about to judge this nation, then you have to either be totally ignorant of God's word or just stick your head in the sand. We are fast approaching a severe judgment of God upon our nation. And therefore, backsliding, to be in a condition of backsliding, and worse, to be in a condition of perpetual backsliding, and worse than that, to be in a condition of falling away, do you see the seriousness of it, especially in light of the times in which we are living? He says in verse 8, how do ye say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribe is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Did you know there's a great rejection of the word of God today? A tremendous rejection of the word of God. Verse 10 says, therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest. Everyone dealeth falsely, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In other words, what God is saying here, that I have clearly shown you that I'm about to bring my judgments, and yet the men of God are not declaring that the judgment is coming, but rather the men of God are saying, or rather those who are so-called men of God are saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 12, he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, if we were to go from this passage to other passages in the Old Testament, we would find that the conditions that are found here, the conditions of backsliding and falling away, that they can be found in any portion of the Word of God that you look at. If you were to leave the Old Testament and go to the New Testament, when Jesus and the apostles, when they were doing all of their preaching, and they were going all about preaching basically the same message, what was the message that John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, Philip and Andrew, and every preacher in the New Testament, what did they all preach? They all said the same thing. They all said, repent. Every one of them said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were talking about God is about to judge His people. And in the midst of all this talk of judgment that God, and especially that Jesus Christ was doing, in Matthew chapter 24, when He told them that He was going to destroy Jerusalem. Now, were the apostles looking forward to a kingdom being established in Jerusalem? Did they believe that a kingdom was going to be established there? They did. And were they serving Christ faithfully, thinking that they could have a part of that kingdom in that city of Jerusalem? They were serving Him faithfully, at least most of them were, except one. And that was Judas Iscariot. I want to tell you, brethren, I don't mind telling you that I believe Judas Iscariot was a child of God. You might not believe that. You can argue all you want to. I'm telling you, it's nothing but an indication of just how far a child of God can go. Judas Iscariot is called a traitor. Judas Iscariot cast out devils out of people. Judas Iscariot was a follower of Christ. He was a disciple of Christ. And the fact that he cast demons out of people is an irrefutable fact that he was a child of God, because Jesus used that principle as proof that Jesus could not be of Beelzebub, because Jesus said, I cannot cast demons out and be a devil myself, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Judas Iscariot, I believe, was a child of God. He was a child of God that started out doing something that we're beginning to look at tonight. He started out just backsliding. But that backsliding became perpetual backsliding. And he began to steal more and more until he began to be so greedy and covetous that he was willing to sell his Lord and Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And he did that. He had a very ungodly mind in the end of his life. But he was very convicted after he realized what he had done. Now, In Matthew 24, when Jesus is describing to the apostles about the destruction of Jerusalem, He told them that there were many things that were going to happen, but one of the things that He said is that the love of many would wax cold. The love. Again, now I'm not talking about people that don't love God. I'm talking about people that do love God. I'm talking about children of God who love God. The love of many shall wax cold. Now, was that something that Jesus said was going to happen in the end of the Jewish world? That the love of many was going to wax cold. Matthew 24:12 says that the love of many would wax cold. In John chapter 6, the Word of God says, Brother David mentioned this past Wednesday morning at Baptist Village, but Brother David mentioned, and it's right out of God's Word, in John chapter 6, verse 60, there were many of the disciples that turned back and walked no more with Him because of the hardness of His sayings. Now, brethren, the sayings of God and the truth of God are going to sound more and more difficult and sound harder the further our nation gets away from God. There are things that 50 years ago was commonly accepted among almost all of Christianity that they're beginning to sound like hard doctrines. And the only reason they're beginning to sound that way is because the people of God have been guilty of backsliding and then perpetual backsliding and getting further and further away from God. And covetousness has caused many of the people of God to love the world and the things that are in the world more than they love God. And they're falling away. Go with me to 2 Peter just a moment. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. And again, there are many who think that this chapter in 2 Peter is talking about those who are not children of God. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart in 2 Peter chapter 2, these are children of God. Though they were very, very ungodly children of God, they were still children of God. It's much like, you remember in Acts chapter 20, before I read from 2 Peter, I want to remind you that when the Apostle Paul called all the elders of Ephesus together, the Apostle Paul said that there was going to be many that would fall away, but then he made this statement. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 30 says, in verse 29, Acts chapter 20 verse 29, he says, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now brethren, those grievous wolves, they may be children of the devil. I'm not arguing that point. Grievous wolves would come in. And then he says this, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Brethren, this drawing away from the church, leading people away, especially those that are weak, those that are simple, those that are not strong, that is a continuous work of the devil in the church of Jesus Christ, is to try to reach those that are on the fringe and those lambs of God, to try to reach them and lead them away from the truth of God and away from the church of Jesus Christ. It has always been a tool of the devil to get those that are the weakest and have the least amount of knowledge of the truth, to try to get them away from the church of Jesus Christ. Go with me now to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Word of God talks again here about false prophets. Now, these false prophets could have started out as true prophets. Those in Jeremiah chapter 8 did. And now in 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to listen carefully. 2 Peter chapter 2, these are not just people that have backslidden a little bit. These are not people that have just been perpetually backsliding. But these are people of God that have backslidden so much that they despise truth. They despise the Word of God. They despise the true church of Jesus Christ. And there is no conscience in them at all. Here's what God's Word says about them. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Will there be false teachers in the year 2012? Will there be false preachers in 2012? Indeed, there will. There were false prophets also among the people, and even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Do you know the only way you can identify a damnable heresy is if you recognize and know the truth of God's Word. And it is important that the people of God recognize the difference in truth and error, because damnable heresies will be brought into the church of God. That's what this is talking about. By people who were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But watch this now. They're going to bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Do you hear the expression there? Who are they denying? They're even denying the Lord that bought them. Are they children of God? Are they bringing in damnable heresies? Are they doing everything they can to lead the simple away from God and from the church of Jesus Christ? Indeed, they are. And they are described in verse 2 in this way. After it says, denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Did you know there will be, as things get closer and closer to the end of our nation, there will be a big falling away from the church of Jesus Christ. There will be a rapid departure from the church. Come down now to verse 14. Still speaking about these people that he's begun speaking about in verses 1 and 2. He says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Now listen carefully. Beguiling unstable souls. Do you know who these ravenous wolves? Do you know who these false prophets? Do you know who they're always seeking? They're seeking the weak lambs of God. They're seeking those that they can sway away from the church and away from the truth. Beguiling, the scripture says here, beguiling unstable souls. Are there a lot of unstable souls in society today? Are there a lot of unstable souls even in the churches today? Absolutely. A lot of unstable souls. And they're beguiled. They're going to be beguiled by those who have fallen away and then have been perpetually falling away and then have adopted false doctrines, and they're going to beguile those who are unstable souls. And heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. You hear that? You hear the last expression in that verse? They're cursed children. Are they children of God? Yes, but they are cursed children. Now listen carefully to verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bothar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now you listen carefully to that. Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now the wages of unrighteousness is any time that you are receiving wages while doing that which is forbidden by God. God had told Balaam what he was to do and what he was not to do. Did he then desire forbidden wages? Did he desire wages that were unrighteous wages? Indeed he did, and likewise today in our society, there are those that are willing to take and receive wages of unrighteousness. Do you know what caused Balaam to want those wages of unrighteousness? It's one thing that caused Balaam to want the wages of unrighteousness. What was it? What caused him to want the wages of unrighteousness? Greed and covetousness. What causes people today to take wages of unrighteousness? Greed and covetousness. Now follow this on down. Listen to verse, come down for the sake of time, come down to verse 19. Well, let me read 18. Verse 18 says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promised them, listen carefully to verse 19, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Do you hear what they're promising to the people of God? They're promising liberty. And yet, in fact, God's Word says that instead of getting liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And then he explains the result and how serious all this is in verse 20 and 21. He says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, or of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Are there things worse than to have never been a part of the church and the truth of God's Word? Are there things worse? Yes, there are. Much, much worse is to have been a part of His church and been a part of His truth and then to backslide and fall away. That's much worse than to have never been there to begin with. And the rest of that passage, the verse 20 says, "It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Brethren, God's Word is full of truth. God's Word is truth. The Church of Jesus Christ is truth. And it is important that you and I, as the people of God, that we continually examine ourselves and see, are we backsliding? Am I backsliding? Is the church backsliding? We need to examine ourselves continuously. And then if there begins to be perpetual backsliding, and brethren, let me say one more thing. If you see me backsliding or I see you backsliding, we need to try to as best we can, to convert one another from the error of our way. Brethren, James says this, and I'll close with this one verse. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." May God help us to not backslide, and to help those who are backsliding, is my prayer for Christ's sake.